Okay, so this is a preliminary work, actually. We are exploiting administrative data that we had access 2 years ago, and we are still piling up data there. So we have this agreement with the Secretary of Education of the state of São Paulo in Brazil, where we are, every year, we are feeding our data set with their administrative data. So it's an amazing data. They are still, but you know, it's a data that was not organized to be for academic use or for academic use. So it's very raw, and you know, you have like, there is a lot of cleaning to do. So every time that you have new data came, we spend like 2-3 months just cleaning the data. So now I'm, so now here we're exploiting the fact that we can connect students in different times of students in different grades through years. Right, so these are the first results that we are connecting students. So students are taking exams. I'm going to talk a little bit about it. They are taking standardized exams, and now I can find the same students take exams in different grades in different years. So this is the first work that we are doing with this panel, where we can find the students in different points of time. Fernando, can you?
Jet lag.
So you know, just for motivation, I starting thinking about how similar are the racial disparities in Brazil and USA. So this work is pretty much inspired about in the literature and the racial gap literature in the U.S. So we know that there are like several different historical and sociological differences between Brazil and U.S. In the, you know, when you look to the black gaps, but the data shows to us that there are like a lot of similarities as well. So when you look to the major adult outcomes, the results are quite similar. So we do have like wage gaps, occupation gaps, or differences in occupation choice, clear differences. So blacks and whites are choosing different occupations. Unemployment rates are different. So just talking about labor markets. Also, when you look to the health indicators, we also find significant differences between the black and the white population, right? Also in crime, when you look crime records, also there is a huge difference between the, you know, these two populations. So what about education? So in education U.S., we know that's very well documented that there is racial gaps in different dimensions. So you know, in test scores, school progress, repetition rates, college access. So you know, there are like several works that try to measure these differences in all these dimensions. However, there is this very important, so the importance of education got, so there is this seminal, this very important racial paper of Newman Johnson that point out that when the blacks and whites, they get to the job market, they are read very different in their human capital accumulation. So they have very different levels of human capital accumulation, and when you control for that, most of the gap, the gap shrinks a lot. For in some cases, they vanish, and some cases you have, but it's much smaller than when you look to the unconditional differences without controlling for differences in human capital, right? This is a very controversial paper. There is like, after they published this paper, there was this huge debate if they were doing the right thing, if they are, if the econometric strategy was really answering the question that they were posing. But still, was very influential because it points out for the things that they call the pre-market factors. So there is something happen before these people get to the market that are making them so different. So you know, the market are rewarding them differently because they get to the market very different. So that puts like education in, you know, this on focus. So why? Because it's, you know, you believe that through the education system that they are acquiring, they are making their human capital investments. So if they are getting different to the job market, we should understand why that's happening, right? So there is this paper, and which is communicates very much with what I'm doing here, this Fryer and Levitt paper, which is actually a series of two papers, that they are looking to the racial gap in test scores over school years, right? So in the 2004 paper, they look on for 3 years, and then to the for the first 3 years, kindergarten, first and second year. And in the 2006 paper, they look to the they add 1 year more with the third year, right? And they try to document what happens with the test score gaps all across the school years, right? So what they find is that racial difference starts very early, and education policy can have an important role to fight it, because what they find is that this gap increases over the school years. So the most important find there is that when they look to the kindergarten, to the entrance in the kindergarten, so the first time these students are tested, there is like the raw differences between blacks and whites, but when you control for the socioeconomic status, basically this difference vanishes, right? So you have a very small, again, either vanished or you have a very small difference. But once the students advanced through schools, what happened is that this gap the gap increases, and when you control for the socioeconomic status now, you still have the gap, right? So we are doing here something very similar. Yeah.
Can you switch?
Yes, please. So what about Brazil? So as in US, racial differences in schooling are also documented in several dimensions. So again, we have differences in access to college, we have difference in repetition rates, we have difference in test scores. I'm going to talk a little bit about it. But we don't know we don't have the pre-market evidence that Newey Johnson raised for here. So we don't know. We don't have data, or reliable data, that we human capital for people that are in the labor markets, that we can control for human capital accumulation when you estimate the gap, the wage gaps in the market. So basically, we don't have data for workers on their human capital quality, on the quality of their human capital. So we cannot basically reproduce that result of Newey Johnson. However, we tend to think that due to all these similarities between US on the data side, between the US and Brazil, there is reasons to believe that also these guys, you know, blacks and whites, when you look for unconditional difference in basically years of education, there is huge differences on between blacks and whites when they reach the market. So even though we don't have reliable measures on the quality of the education, we have measures on the quantity of education, and it's very different. So there is a huge difference between the black and white populations. So this paper, so what we are going to do, we are using our data to do something very similar to what Fryer and Levitt did in US. So we have data on the on test scores along the school years, from starting from the first grade to high school, right? And we are going to show you evidence today about how these gaps evolve over time, conditional gaps, the raw gaps and the conditional gaps, conditioning on socioeconomic status and other covariates. So just a little bit on the schooling background in Brazil. So basically in Brazil we have this, on the basic education we have these four levels. So we have the preschools, where the kids with 6 years old, students with 6 years old attend. Then we have the elementary school, first to fourth grades, there are four grades there, from 7 to 10 years. Then we have the middle school, from the fifth to eighth grade, students from 11 to 14 years, and then we have the last step, which is the high school, 3 grades, 15 to 17 years old, and comes college, right? So we have over, so this is state of São Paulo. I'm going to talk today basically about the state of São Paulo, and I'm going to be talking mostly about the state-run schools. So these are There are like over 6,000 public schools and about 2 million pupils enrolled in Jesus schools. So in Brazil we have a mixed system. So the public school is a mixed system. Municipalities and the state government, they share the responsibility of running these schools. And the concentration of students in the under the municipality regime or under the state regime varies across the different states in Brazil. For instance, in São Paulo, when you talk about looking for elementary and middle school, 60% of the kids are enrolled in municipal schools and 40% of the kids are enrolled in state governments. When you look to the high schools, so there is a specialization of the government, of the state government in high schools. When you look to the high schools, 80% of our students are enrolled on state-run schools. So what's the data that we are using here? So we have this exam, SARESP, which has been this is a standardized test that's employed by the state government on the state-run schools, and it has been employed since 1996. But it had like during these years, from 1996 to 2005, they did several changes on the exam, and we only have access. So there were like several changes on the exams, and from 2007. From 2007 on, they start using the IRT. So these exams were graded using the IRT. From before 2007, so Item Response Theory, I believe here everybody's familiar with that.
Everybody knows
that. But before 2005, the exams are not really comparable, right? So they were not like graded based on a way that we could measure differences, or we could really compare across different grades and across different years. So what we're using here is data on these 3 years, right? The data before 2005 is also not reliable. There are like several, small details, implementation details were not considered, like the teachers were grading the exams, so teachers would grade the exams of their classes, things like that was going on. So, the exams were not really reliable in that sense. From 2005 on, the exams get more reliable. So you had like the government would hire institution to do the exams, and they would have like professional people proctoring the exams. They were developed completely externally to the system, right? So they were like they reached the gold standards of standardized exams from 2005 on, right? Even though in 2005 the grades are not assigned using IRT. Yeah? So since 2007, the exam. So before 2005, from the exam was done every 2 years. After 2007, the exam is done every year. So it's applied every year and goes to grade 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 11, right? So all these grades are tested every year. Again, the grades are assigned using RT, so they are comparable. And in 2007 and 2005, all grades were tested in all state-run schools. So again, I'm only talking about state-run schools, which is for elementary and middle school accounts for 40% of the students enrolled, and for the middle schools accounts for 80% of the students enrolled. A socioeconomic instrument is also applied to the students. So, we have information on the student's socioeconomic background. The standard stuff, education of mother, education of father, income, some durable goods like refrigerators, cars, automobiles, things like that, the type of residence that they live, things like that. We have information on that, and we also have information on race, and race is self-declared. Right? So the students...
Explain how many categories of race?
We do have five categories. We have blacks, we have whites, we have what we call browns with mulattoes, right? And then we have Asians, and then we have native Brazilians. So we have five categories, right? And there is one important issue here. In Brazil, it's a very important issue, is because race distinction is not as clear as here in US. You have a great array of varieties of skin colors between white and black, right? And the way that people declare them, the race, also is, different people have different perceptions about how you should declare your race. So for instance, I don't know if you know the football player Ronaldo. There was a famous statement of him that he said, once they asked him about how they feel about playing in Europe, or if they ever felt discriminated in Europe for having a dark skin. And then what he says that, no, I never had problem with that because I'm white, but I have several colleagues or several, I know several players that played with me that they have darker skin, so they felt that. So, but you know, if you make a quest or if you ask people in a quiz about, you know, what color they would attribute to Ronaldo, you would see, a lot. Some people would say white, some people would say brown, and some people would say black, right? So, because we have much more interracial connections in Brazil compared to, for historical reasons, than U.S. So this is, it's not so well defined as here in U.S. So the exam covers two subjects, math, 30 multiple choice questions, and Portuguese with 30 multiple choice questions, plus an essay, right? And this essay is graded by professors from the system, but not professors from the same school. So we have data on every year over 1.8 million test takers in approximately 5,000 schools. Grading of the multiple choice questions is electronic, and again the essay is graded by a committee of teachers other than the students' regular instructors. It's possible to identify the students and the student class across the different years, right? So they have like a unique number that we can identify them in the system. So using that, we can find, so remember that in 2005, all grades were tested. And in 2007, only those grades that I mentioned before were tested. So the 2000 students in grades 2, 4, 6, and 9 can be found in 2007 in grades 4, 6, 8, and 11, assuming that they didn't drop out and they didn't fail, right? The 2005 students in grades 1, 3, 5, and 8 can be found in 2008 in grades 4, 6, 8, and 11. So 3 years ahead, right? So we are going to exploit that to have reliable measures on the, to have reliable conditional measures on the gaps, on the test score gaps, right? So in order to make, so remember that in 2005, even though the program, the tests were designed in a very similar way, so had the same format, these 30 multiple choice questions, the format was very similar, the test was not assigned, grades were not assigned using IRT. So in order to make tests comparables, we use for both exams, for the 2005, 2008, and also for 2005 and 2007, use the standardized percentage of correct answers. So this correlated, the correlation between the percentage of correct answers in these exams with the IRT grade is very high, is 0.95, something like that. It's really, really high. So we are relying on that to make these grades comparable, right? So what's the implementation here? So we are using, I'm going to show you results. They are very preliminary results. I just have the chance to look for these results in the last week. So it's going to be nice to present to you today so you can think with me a little bit about these results. So we are running two models, very simple models. So one is a cross-section model where we have SIS, which is the test score for the student I in school S, right? We are interested in the beta there, which is the coefficient for the race of the student I, right? Then we control for students' I characteristics. That's a great, a big array of, large array of characteristics of the student's family and the student's background. And then also, we have information on school characteristics, but basically we can use, since we can identify which school the students are, we can use school fixed effects here, right? Then we have a panel model, right? Since I can find these students in different years, I'm going to look for the differences, so the differences in the grades for the same students across different exams in different years. So it's the variation in the test score for the student I, so this gamma SY, is the variation in the test score for the student I between year C and T minus 1, right? And again, I'm interested on the race coefficient. So basically, I want to, this is going to tell me what's happening with the gap, right? If this value here is negative, this gap is increasing over time. And if this value, if the beta is positive, the gap is shrinking over time, right? That's the how you read this. So these graphs are the results for the cross-section model. So here I'm plotting the coefficient, the beta coefficients, and there are the coefficients for the different school grades, right? The darker is the black population, and the gray line is the black and brown population pooled together, right? So again, just to tell you numbers, about 10%, 9% of the people declared themselves black, and about 50% declared themselves black and brown. And you pull this group, 50%, half of the population, right? So these are the coefficients for the regression for the year of 2005. Yeah? The way that these samples were constructed for each grade is the way, so remember, the first graders, I can find them on the 2005 first graders, I can find them in 2008 in the fourth grade. So the sample of the first graders are the sample of the students that I can really find in the fourth grade. So the first graders and the fourth graders are, so that's the way that the sample was designed. The first graders are the first graders that I can find in the fourth grade. The second grade are the students that I can find in the fourth grade in 2007. Okay, so that's the way the sample was constructed just to make results comparable. So again, what's striking here, first is that the gap, so remember a negative sign means that the gap, that there is a gap, and the fact that it's getting more negative, it means that the gap is increasing, right? So the gap is increasing up to sixth grade. Then the gap starts to increase, right? When I pull blacks and browns, so the first thing that the magnitude of the coefficient is much smaller, right? So I have the difference is much less pronounced, right? And then again, I have a slight increase in the gap, but not as sharp as what happens from the sixth grade on with the black population, from the brown and black population pulled together, right? Oh, sorry. This is for Portuguese language. This is language. And the other one is for math, which follows a very similar pattern. So the gap, so you know, we have here some fluctuations here, but you can roughly say that the gap decreases, the gap increases until the sixth grade for the black population, then you have this decrease in the gaps, right? The same thing happens to the black and brown population when they are pulled together.
Excuse me, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm going to talk a little bit about that when I'm going to. So, students, so there are two peaks on the dropout rates. The first peak is on the sixth grade, right? So this, so remember, they finish the elementary school on the fourth grade, then they switch schools, then they basically, these are most of the time, these are different schools. So they go to a different school with the elementary, so it's, which is the middle school, right? They start the fifth grade, and the sixth grade, the repetition peaks, right? So there is a lot of the repetition, the dropout peaks. So there are a lot of dropouts on the sixth grade. Then that happens again on the ninth grade when they start high school. It's the first year of high school. So our explanation for that, or what seems to be happening, is that in the state of São Paulo, you have a system of automatic promotion over the school cycles, where each school cycle is defined by the, you know, those school steps, schooling steps. So elementary school is one school cycle. So from first to fourth grade, there is no repetition. Basically, you have automatic promotion. Students are, you can only fail a student if the student has a high level of absence. So if, you know, basically if the guy had, I think that there is something about 30%. If you missed more than 30% of classes, then you fail, right? So that's what happens between the between first and fourth grade. Then we have another cycle where there is no repetition between the fifth grade and the eighth grade. So what happens here is that, so in the fourth grade, the students can face, they face repetition, but the repetition rates are very, very low in the state of São Paulo. They are basically the same repetitions that you see over the rates are comparable to the repetition rates that you see over the grades in the within the cycle, right? And so the explanation for that is that these students, they get to the fifth grade, they're not really ready for middle school, right? So they stand there one day, 1 year, hanging around. Then they you know, basically they are in this different environment now where they have multiple teachers. From first to fourth grade, you have only one, you have like only one teacher for all the subjects, except in with the exception of physical education. So now he goes to an environment where he have multiple bigger schools with multiple teachers, and then basically he's not ready for that. So from the fifth to the sixth grade, they drop. So that's the explanation for that. Our explanation for that. That happens also at the end of the middle school, where when the students go to high school, again, they face a different environment where subjects are much more elaborate. You know, school is much more professional in some sense. There is a big distance between the professors and the students in the high school. And again, because they're not prepared for that, there is like high dropout rates. That's our feeling about it, right? So I'm going to show you some results in more detail, and then I'm going to talk about how these dropout rates play a result in our interpretation of these results. So this is data on 2005 from the cross-section on for the blacks. So these are the coefficients of the regression, of different regressions. So this is the raw differences, right? The regression without any type of controls. And for the black and the black and brown population for 2005. So this is first grade, right? So these are differences in the first grade. So here I'm adding additional controls to my regression. As I move from the left side to the right side, I'm adding a different set of controls. So from row one, from column one to column two, what happens is that I'm adding a school fixed effect. So now I'm comparing students within the same school, right? when I go from row one, so you have a reduction on the, so these are, when I compare students in the same school, so there is differences that are, so some of these differences come from differences in school, but when I consider only students within the same school, controlling for the school, the gaps decrease but doesn't vanish. Then here I have class fixed effects. I can really find the classes of these students. So these are gaps within classes, right? So then the gaps again decreases, right? And then when I go from the third column to the fourth column, now I'm including all set of socioeconomic characteristics of the students that I have in the data. So the gap shrinks but doesn't vanish, right? So this is the how you read this. And then we look to the same students. So both the sample for these two schools are the same. So we look to the same students now in 2008, where now they are in the fourth grade. So the same students, so I do the same exercise, adding controls for my regression. And then what I find after on the conditional gap, after I control for everything that I can, so these are students in the same class and with the same socioeconomic status, I find that the gap goes from 0.1 from 0.2, right? And these are standardized tests, so these are basically 0.1 standard deviations because all this data is standardized. So that's how you read these coefficients. Again, so I do the same exercise for the third and sixth grade, and as you can see, the gap keeps increasing, goes to zero, so now goes to 0.67. Then I come to the third grade, 0.2656, then 0.224. So these results, so here I have a small gap, but remember these guys are not really comparable because they are not really the same students. So we have cohort effects here, right? So I have to compare this coefficient with this one because these are, you know, the same students. So now what happens from here to here again is that the gap increases when I go to the third to the sixth grade, right? Again, when I go to the fifth grade, to the eighth grade, there is no major change in the gaps, right? And when I go to the eighth to the 11th grade, again, there is a small reduction on the gap. There is a small reduction on the gap, but it's not, but basically doesn't change much on the third decimal case. So that was for that was language 2005-2008. Now it's language 2005-2008. So I'm doing the same exercise now, but now I'm comparing to 2005 with the 2007, right? So again, what happens with the conditional gaps is a reduction from the grade 2 to the grade 4, an increase from grade 2 from grade 4, again, an increase from grade 4 to grade 3. To grade 6, and again an increase from grade 6 to grade 8, and then no change, significant change from grade 9 to grade 11. Right? The same thing for math, so always I have an increase on the gaps, right? So on the elementary schools until the middle school, I always have an increase on the gaps, and after that the gap keeps stable. That's what's going on. Fernando. So now we are looking to the panel. So now it's differences on the gaps. So these are the same students, right? Taking the exams in different years. So now I'm just looking to the difference on the gaps. So now, when I look to the first to fourth grade, the gaps go, so the increase in the gaps for the black population is 0.06 then. So there is an increase in the gap, right? Again, here is the difference where, and the unconditional difference when I do not control, and here when I control for all the socioeconomic status. So again, as you can see, you have negative signs for the coefficients, so you have an increase in the gaps between grade 1 and 4. Then you have an increase in the gaps between grade 3 and 6. And then again, from 5 to 8, from grade 5 to 8 and 8 to 11, I have, for the black population, I have a decrease in the gap. And for brown and black population pulled together, I have an increase, a very slight increase in the gap. And then finally, in the last, between grade 8 and 11, I have no change on the gap. So this is language. So this is language 2005-2007 sample. So the result is pretty similar. So the gaps increase a lot for the first grades. And then when you reach middle school, the gaps stabilize. And then there is no difference. I cannot measure. I don't find any significant differences in the increase of the gaps from sixth grade on. So this is the same result for math, 2005 and 2008. The results again, there is a sharp increase in the gaps in the first graders. But after the middle school, the middle of middle schools, the gap, either the gap shrinks for the black population or is stabilized for the black and brown population. So what are the main results? So the test score gaps increase from grade 1 to 6. And then it decreases or stabilizes from grade 8 to 9 to 11, right? So we do have a selection problem, as you guys were mentioning. You know, these students are, I only compare students that are the same students, but students that stay in the school system. So you have like significant rates of dropouts between some of these grades. So probably the students that read, that the students that were leading for the increase in the gap are leaving the school, are the ones that take less advantage of school. So, so probably what's happening is that after you know, as the school school years advance, these students, the pool of students are changing, and the selection effect dominates the effect of the widening the gap. One thing that's quite interesting, and this is was surprising actually. So first, when I start looking to this data, I was expecting tiny results and not comparable to the results that Fryer and Levitt find for US, right? But the results, the conditional results, are very, very similar. The magnitude are very similar. For specific grades, you find results that are very similar. We don't have kindergarten here. So we cannot compare to the very early stages where they don't find conditional gaps there, right? But the results for the grades first, and for the first grade, second grade, and third grade, which we can compare with the Fryer and Levitt results, the magnitude are very, very similar. When you look only for the black population, when we put together black and brown, then our results are, the magnitude of our results are much smaller than the Fryer and Levitt. Story. So again, this is sending a very important message for educational policy that, you know, it can be used to find this difference. Something is going on in school, and there is differences that are increasing in school, and we had to think about policies to fight it, right? But then, you know, you have to understand the mechanism behind this. What's going on there? What are the stories going on there? So one important question is, in which abilities are the blacks and brown lagging behind? So I'd like to have an idea of how these gaps evolve for specific type of questions or specific types of abilities. So which abilities, because depending on the type, as you know, depending on the type of abilities, basically they are losing, they are lagging behind on building blocks abilities that you need to acquire new ability in the future. So you generate like a dynamic problem, like a slippery slope problem here. Again, something that we are trying to understand is if these gaps are somehow correlated with informal networks or friendship networks of the students in the school. So if there is, if these guys, we don't know much in Brazil, how are the informal relations of students and how they relate to each other and how this correlates with grades. It's important because, as we know, friendship choice might affect results, might affect like academic performance. As we know, there is a lot of, especially when you reach teenage, there is a lot of informal components or informal relations that affect how you absorb, how your academic performance. Okay, this is what I had to talk today, this topic. Thank you.